variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here with a Renaissance woman. And you could watch two documentaries on her. You go to melissaiteldurin.com. And she does so many things. And we'll jump right into it. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah. How are you?
Good. It's the same thing. Whenever I ask people, how are you doing? It's usually a little delay there. Yeah, we're all right. Yeah, you know, it's all relative. And it's a very, you know, interesting time that we're living in. I hosted it ended up being a 5-station Long Island station talk on coronavirus this last Tuesday, and it was a live call-in show, and with Steve Harper from Party 105. He's the morning guy, and we had a doctor on, Dr. Rajesh Fernando, and he was there answering everybody's questions. You'll be amazed at how many people are just furious with the government. They don't trust the government. How many people have gripes with the government? We got flooded with calls because it was all the stations, you know, all those different stations, listeners. So everybody was calling. Do you have frustration with the government on this particular thing?
Well, on many things, on many levels.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, as you said, I'm not alone because a lot of people do.
Mm. Well, this was apparent to me that people were blaming the government for a lot of what was going on. I mean, it's unprecedented. Our situation is unprecedented. And, you know, we don't know what's going on. But we do know that, and we've spoke about this before, the canary in the coal mine, you know, Georgia and Florida and Texas, they released the restrictions, or they removed the restrictions, I should say. And, you know, here we are a week out of that. And apparently, this is according to them. Now, I don't know what's true and what's not true, but apparently they're saying that their COVID-19 cases have been going down steadily. Now, have you heard the same thing, or am I hearing something different?
I hear all kinds of things, that the cases are going down somewhat. But then you look at the figures that are released, number of cases, and depending on where you are, it doesn't seem to be going down by that much.
Yeah. Well, the thing that hits me is the media, and again, I don't want to sound like a one-trick pony where I'm always talking about the media and a broken record, but the media hates the governor of Georgia. Right, hates the, and when I say the media, I mean CNN and, you know, the writers and CNBC and Rachel Maddow. They all hate that guy, and they would love to embarrass him. They would love to show that this guy is dangerous, he should be removed from office, and they're not saying that based on any stats. So they're not saying, look at what Georgia has done by releasing these things, and that indicates to me that maybe things aren't so bad in Georgia. And again, I'm not saying by any means don't wear a mask. I think we all have to wear masks, and we have to keep social distancing and everything else. But the canary in the coal mine might have survived. And again, maybe it's a little early. Maybe we're a couple days early or a week early from saying that. But they released a lot of these restrictions. They relaxed a lot of these restrictions. And all of a sudden, we're not hearing calamities going on. What do you make of that?
Well, of course, I don't think anywhere is as bad as New York or maybe some parts of the tri-state area. Georgia doesn't have nearly half the population density. Well, maybe it does. I'm not saying it's a small state. It's not as dense in population as New York is.
And
exactly. And Not even Las Vegas, for example, the city of Las Vegas. So I don't think it's unreasonable to say, well, these places can start lifting the restrictions. They don't have the same, you know, the same factors we have. And it's a shame that we happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And of course, the Georgia governor has been, you know, if you read the CNN headlines, if you read the Washington Post headlines, well, they identify this governor of Georgia as a Trump supporter, a Trump ally. I mean, that prominently figures into their it's not even, you know, they leave nothing to the imagination. They go right to the jugular, a Trump-supported governor, a Trump ally, and then and this is what he's doing, figures.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no objectivity anymore in any of the reporting that we're seeing.
No, I mean, they're non-apologetically going after people mm-hmm. that are Trumpers or perceived mm-hmm. to be Trumpers. Frank McKay here with Melissa Eitel-Jurin. Everyone go to iHeartRadio.com and binge listen to everything we've been doing here. Watch the documentaries on Melissa. She's an author, a writer, an educator, a mother, a wife, a dancer, a little bit of everything. She could do a lot of things very, very well. Of course, radio show host Frank McKay here with Melissa. Let's think about this for a second. If Georgia and Texas was peaking out since they released the restrictions, or they relaxed the restrictions, I guess is maybe a better term. Wouldn't we be hearing, because both of them, the governors are both Trump supporters, wouldn't we be hearing the media blast those two states and those statistics out? Wouldn't they love to say they've increased by double, or they've increased by 10% or 20%? Don't you imagine that they would do it? And again, you properly point out that they non-apologetically are bringing this up. What is your take on that? I mean, I get a good vibe, and when I say a good vibe, I get the feeling that people aren't dropping like flies since they relaxed the restrictions.
I think, I mean, you have to exercise caution with this, but. And this is the problem we have here. These governors, we see this in our state of New York, we see this in New Jersey, we see this in with Governor Whitmore.
Yeah.
And notice they're all Democrats
with
a big D. Yes.
Yeah.
So they are wielding a lot of power, and they're telling you every day at their sanctimonious hearings, their updates. Where they're telling you, oh, and this one died, and that one died, and this is what we have to do. We don't like it. We don't. And I'm closing all the beaches. And no knuckleheads here. And you know, and and it gets a little. It started to wear on our nerves. People don't like to be told what to do, especially if they feel it's not bringing them any productivity. For example, it's taking away from their income. It's taking away from their right to live and let live, and it's not making a dent anywhere. And then you find the gaping holes in these people's records, and you say, well, yeah, well, then why did you do this? Why did you let the nursing homes become, you know, the dumping ground of for all the coronavirus people, victims, patients? Why did you do that? And now you're reversing your course, and you're saying it so it makes down as though you did nothing wrong, because you're, after all, you're a politician, so
yeah.
You know how to cover up the dirt. You know, people are getting fed up, basically.
Yeah.
And I can't contradict their frustration. I mean, we're all feeling that, and we're all wondering, you know, gee, you people handled all this. Maybe we wouldn't be in this predicament if something had been done a little bit earlier. And now you're just scrambling to do anything and everything, and you're practically taking away our civil liberties, and you expect us to just sit there and not say anything.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with anything you said right there. Frank McKay here, MelissaEitel-Jurin.com is a great starting point. Let me ask you this, and I've asked this before in the past, and now it's different. We have more information. We're a couple weeks out from when I asked this last time, but if you were the governor of this state, which I wish you were, that would be great, right? If you were the governor of this state, what would you do right now? What are the first three or four things you would do?
What would I do? And which state is this?
New York.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Given that we are in one of the most densely populated areas, and we have an upstate and a downstate, the upstate being probably much less dense in some cases than definitely New York City, I think I would have been, if I had gotten wind of this back in January, I'm sure they were all privy to that kind of information, I might have started doing something a little bit sooner. Perhaps I would have gone to the nursing homes where most of these coronavirus cases have happened, because due to the people's ages and physical conditions, and I would have, I would not have taken in anyone. I would not have just used that as a dumping area for coronavirus people and exposed elderly people to even more mayhem. If you're a relative of a nursing home patient, you can't see that person. You I don't know how you communicate. I guess you have to, if you have to be lucky enough to have for that nursing home to give the loved one an iPad or something and do a Zoom session with you, or you actually do get phone calls. I don't know. Or you couldn't, if you were able to, you should have pulled out the person early on, taken the person home with you. I don't know if I would have waited to close the schools.
Right.
You know, if you recall, and I think everybody does, it's on tape, both Mayor de Blasio from New York City and the governor were Governor Cuomo were in no rush to really do anything. Remember, de Blasio was saying, it's okay, it's under control or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's not contagious. It's nothing. It's nothing more than a common flu. Just go out to Chinatown and enjoy the Chinese New Year.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's what it was like. The one thing I've got to say, though, is what I would do. And again, I'm not for taking away anyone's civil liberties. I've got a lot of libertarian in me, you know, where, you know,
right.
I don't want the government getting involved in my business and other people's business and everything else. But I heard this statistic, and again, I don't have it right in front of me, so I'm just kind of doing it off the top of my head. But that if 80% of the people would wear masks, just 80%, that it would drop by, I forget what the number is, but it would drop down to about 10% of the cases that we have now. And if everybody wore masks, we'd be down to next to nothing. It would be very difficult to get it if everyone wore masks. Now, again, I am the last person to say, hey, I want to force people to do this. I would enforce people to wear masks, to be honest with you. And I know they say they're doing that, but I would go overboard on that. If nothing else in the world that you can do but to make people wear masks, I would do it. And if you got to fine them, if you got to start handing out tickets, I think if you go right away, there'll be a big uproar, on that right away. But after a while, when people start getting hit with tickets, they're gonna start putting those masks on. And I think we can get rid of it if that happens, if those things happen. And again, I don't think it's asking too much. And I don't think it looks cool when somebody's walking around without a mask, or tough, or I'm independent, or whatever. I think it looks selfish. It looks like they're not caring about the other people that they're walking by. They could be walking by Larry, or they could be walking by your husband, and if they don't have that mask on, I mean, they can give it to your loved ones and you and me and my wife and my kids, and it could just pass along from there. That's the main thing that I would be concentrating on, is make sure everyone has masks on. That's the new normal from now on, until this thing is solved, until this thing is under control. Masks all the time. And again, I don't mean when you're driving alone in the car. I don't mean when you're in your house. But I mean when you're in public and you can come within 6 feet of each other, put a mask on. And what do you think of that? Is that too extreme to enforce that?
No, I don't think it was. I mean, they were telling us you don't have to necessarily wear a mask. And there were some people saying, some so-called experts saying, it's not really going to protect against it. But, you know, if you're in, I guess, if you're among people who, if you're not social, if you're in a non-social distance atmosphere, or if you feel you need to, if you're in a going into a hospital, then you can wear one. Now everybody should wear one. You can't go into a store without a mask, is that right? You know, there's no store that will allow you in. If they say it's the law. Yes, I think there are a lot of things we could have done better. Yeah, maybe started this a little bit earlier. Maybe you know, there were other countries that that got wind of this and they closed the schools right away, or they posed some, you know, the social distancing earlier, and they're much better off now than we are. And I think we really mishandled this. We must have known that this was in the wind, and we chose not to act on it. And of course, if you recall back in what was it, January, it seems like a million years ago, the impeachment hearings were all that people were talking about.
That's it. And then while that was going on, and you could look at it right now as being the biggest waste of money in that I can imagine, you know, that I could even remember. What a waste of money. What a waste of time. It wasn't going to happen. The Senate wasn't going to. Anyway, that's a story for another day. Keep your thought and don't go anywhere. And stay tuned for a part two here, everyone. Frank McKay here with Melissa Itell Joran on the Melissa Itell Joran Show. Melissa, any last thought on this subject of what would I do? What would I do if I was governor? Any final thought on it?
I think it's hard to second guess people and say this is what they should have done. We're not really there. We didn't really walk in their shoes. But I think that we just chose to look the other way. Yeah. We didn't pay attention until it was time, and we have proof. We've got all the comments on tape.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, there's no, that we're in the information age. There's no hiding from it. They can't lie and say, no, I didn't say that. Oh, yes, you did. Here you go. And that goes for everyone, from the president to the governor to the mayor to the county executives. Without question, they can't get away with that. So what if is the question, and I'm sure all of you could ask that same question. Let me thank everyone for tuning in each and every week. Go to iHeartRadio.com and SoundCloud and other places and binge listen to everything we've been doing. Melissa, thank you. And thank you to everyone out there for listening.
Yes, absolutely.
Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on the Melissa Itell Joran Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell Joran and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.